Hello there everyone, I'm Rob, a producer on the Black Country Talking News. And this week's edition is for the 11th of May, 2022.
Hello and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon Centre. We are pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've enabled the Talking Newspaper skill, all you need to do is play Talking Newspapers and ask for the Black Country Talking News. Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app. It can be found on the Beacon Centre website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD. Simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Thank you for that, Angela. Speaking for us this week, we have myself, Rob, Helen, Mina, Christine, Ed, Liz, Alistair, Ian, Tony, Kath, Alicia, Tanya, Craig, Angela, and of course, Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have an update from Beacon, some local news in the Black Country. We have the weekly quiz with Mina, news from West Bromwich Albion and Wolves, a Did You Know section, the weather, information about the Canal and River Trust's Orchard Project, we hear about the latest sight loss research, we have Craig's Black Country joke book, and rounding us off, we'll hear about how Dame Judy Dench has adapted to life with a visual impairment. However, we start this week as always with our Guess the Sound question. I'm going to play a sound clip, and all you've got to do is simply guess what it is. So, here's this week's clip. Have a think on that, and I'll reveal the answer later, alongside the usual quiz answers. We have now then, some local news.
The search for the next Chief Constable of West Midlands Police has begun, following Sir David Thompson's decision to stand down. Applications for the role, considered one of the top jobs in British policing, are now open and will run until 5pm on May the 30th. Shortlisted candidates will be interviewed in late June. Sir David is due to stand down after the Commonwealth Games, which starts at the end of July. Announcing his decision in January after 12 years with the force, he said it was time for a fresh vision with West Midlands Police. West Midlands Police and Crime Commissioner Simon Foster said, "Chief Constable of West Midlands Police is one of the top jobs in British policing, and I'm keen to attract a talented, wide and diverse panel of candidates. The next Chief Constable will be responsible for working with me to deliver my police and crime plan and my core pledge of rebuilding community policing. Appointing a chief constable is one of the most important decisions I will make whilst in office. I expect the next chief constable to prevent and tackle crime so as to ensure the West Midlands is a safe and secure place for people to live and work." Sir David was appointed as chief constable in 2016. His contract was extended to 2020 and is due to expire in January 2023. The new chief will run the second biggest force in England and Wales, serving a population of more than 3 million people. They will be tasked with addressing soaring crime rates that have bucked the national trend, with violence and youth crime key concerns. Mr. Foster has revealed he has written to police officers and others across the country holding a rank equivalent to Assistant Chief Constable or above in a bid to drum up interest in the post.
Dudley Council remains in Conservative hands, but Labour laid down a marker for the next 2 years by gaining 3 seats. The leaders of the Tories and Labour both claimed it was a successful night, with Labour winning 3 new seats and the Conservatives increasing their total to 46 councillors to Labour's 26. The Liberal Democrats even claimed success by beating the Conservatives into third place after a tight race in Cradley and Woolascote. The biggest scalp of the night for Labour was Cabinet Member for Health Nick Barlow being beaten by Kat Eccles in Wollaston and Stourbridge Town. Her victory led to the biggest cheer of the night as Labour councillors, members and activists congratulated their candidate finally winning office after several failed campaigns. The closest election was in St James's, where Labour's Khurshid Ahmed lost by just 7 votes to Sarah Bothell. Turnout was down across the board compared to last year. The highest turnout was in Wollaston and Stourbridge Town Ward at 40.24%, and the lowest was Quarry Bank and Dudley Wood with 22.52%, down from 26.08% last year. Many voters either spoiled their ballots or voted for too many candidates. The most popular phrases written on the ballots were derogatory towards Boris Johnson. However, Dudley North Conservative MP Marco Longhi believes the Prime Minister still remains an asset on the doorstep. He said, "We should be getting hammered, but we're not, and that has to be worrying for Labour. Boris is still popular with voters. In fact, what I kept on hearing is they just want us to get on with the job."
The order remained the same as both of the leading parties lost and won a seat at the Wolverhampton Council elections. A total of 20 seats were up for grabs on the Labour-run council, but in the end both they and the Conservatives made one gain and one loss. The result leaves the makeup of Wolverhampton Council exactly the same as it was: 44 Labour councillors and 16 Conservatives. Bushbury North was a target for the Conservatives, and Conservative Deputy Leader Simon Bennett was elected ahead of Labour candidate Alan Butt and Liberal Democrat candidate Harry Marston. The newly elected councillor said it was an incredible feeling and said he would work hard for his constituents. He said it's been a really hard and tough campaign and we have had to fight really hard against the incumbent councillor. So I think we can now show we want to work for the local area and have better ideas for the area. In Maryhill, Labour were looking to take the seat and standing Conservative candidate James Montero was beaten by Labour's Carol Hyatt, who won by just 6 votes after a recount ahead of Mr Montero and Liberal Democrat candidate David Marsh. The visibly emotional Ms Hyatt said she was very overwhelmed and was excited to get started. Voter turnout stood at less than a third, with 50,395 people out of 183,932 registering a vote, a percentage of 27.40. Wolverhampton Council leader, Councillor Ian Brookfield, said the number of votes cast for Labour was a positive ahead of the run into a general election. He said our share of the votes in Wolverhampton has gone up, which is good news in relation to any general election. And I think the Red Wall Conservative seats will be pretty worried at the end of the day once they see the size of the ballot boxes.
A Black Country MP has challenged an anti-Brexit protester to stand against him at the next general election following a verbal altercation in Westminster. Marco Longhi was filming a video clip discussing government policy with fellow Tory MP Lee Anderson when the pair were accosted by Steve Bray, known as the Stop Brexit guy. After telling Mr Bray to go and get a proper job, Dudley North MP Mr Longhi challenged him to a face-off at the ballot box. Mr Longhi said, "This is a formal thing now, I'm announcing. I invite Brexit Steve to come and stand against me in Dudley at the next general election. Let's see how that goes." Lib Dem supporter Mr Bray became a well-known figure in Westminster in the years following the EU referendum result. Usually sporting a top hat, he has regularly featured on news clips, bellowing out anti-Brexit slogans and challenging Conservative MPs. In a clip shared by Mr Longhi on Facebook, the MP can be seen explaining how the government's plan to send illegal migrants to Rwanda was going down very well in Dudley. Mr Bray enters the shot carrying a "Get Johnson out of our democracy" placard and shouts, "Lying Tories, get them out." Mr Longhi asks him, "Why don't you go and get a proper job?" before challenging him to stand against him at the next election. Ashfield MP Mr Anderson added, "This is a great day for democracy. Marco Longhi has challenged Brexit Steve to stand at the next general election in Dudley." Staunch Brexiteer Mr. Longhi won Dudley North for the Tories at the 2019 general election with a majority of 11,533. The Lib Dems limped home in third place with 3.3% of the vote.
Staff absence at hospitals in the Black Country reached its highest point since April 2020 at the end of last year, new figures show. NHS digital figures show 7.48% of the available full-time equivalent working days were classified as absent in the Walsall Healthcare NHS Trust in December 2021, the highest since April 2020, shortly after the pandemic reached England. Royal Wolverhampton Trust and Sandwell and West Birmingham Hospitals NHS Trust also saw staff absence reach its highest level since April 2020 at 6.13% and 6.86% respectively. Meanwhile, staff at Dudley Group NHS Foundation Trust missed 1 in 20 working days in December last year. Figures show 5.4% of the available full-time equivalent working days for staff in the trust were classed as absent. Across England, NHS staff absences soared to 6.17%, the second highest mark since records began in 2009, and only marginally behind April 2020, which was 6.2%. Anxiety, stress, depression, and other mental health reasons were the primary factor, accounting for 23.7% of all staff absences. They were followed by coughs and colds at 12.7% and infectious diseases at 9.5%. The Royal College of Nursing England director, Patricia Marquis, said nursing staff have been pushed to breaking point and deserve better treatment. These services cannot afford to lose loyal, hard-working professionals to avoidable illnesses on top of tens of thousands of nursing vacancies, said Ms. Marquis. She urged employers to work with nursing staff so they can better care for patients and prevent many from missing work or even leaving the profession entirely. Dr. David Wrigley, Council Deputy Chair at the British Medical Association, said that the NHS faced an unprecedented staffing crisis without government action.
Now it's time to hand over to Helen, who has for us this week's Beacon Update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen with your weekly roundup of all things Beacon. Well, as we move into another month, we have got plenty going on, so there's lots to tell you about this week, including coffee mornings at our Sedgley Centre, which will be taking place on the 13th of May, and our Stourbridge Centre on May the 27th, tandem bike riding sessions, I'll keep my fingers crossed with the weather for those ones, and allotment sessions, we're so excited to be able to get back out in the gardens again. Plus, of course, we'll have much, much more. And to find out about any of our activities, just give us a call. You can reach us on 01902 880 111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. Next, sometimes you just got to move. Yep, whether it's seated or up on their feet, our Stourbridge members never miss a chance for a dance. So they marked International Dance Day recently with a good old boogie and a singing session as well to boot. If you'd like to join us, why not give us a call? It's 01902 880 111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org to see how we could support you. Now, we've also been enjoying marking National Gardening Week recently. Sarah from our Hales Owen store created a fantastic dress featuring flowers and butterflies made out of books, would you believe, as well as a gardening-themed window display. We think she did a blooming marvellous job. Well, I hope you like what I did there. The dress had a skirt of different coloured flowers made from book pages and a woven one-shouldered top that had butterflies right across it that were also made out of individual book pages. The window display featured some bunting that read National Gardening Week, as well as a picnic display and some summer clothing and plants. It really was a fantastic job. Of course, our members have marked it as well, and we shared some pictures on our social media of our Stourbridge members who were enjoying the joy of gardening. They went outside to make the most of the warmer weather to spruce up their sensory garden that they have at the site. It was created in 2019 thanks to support from Dudley Prince Trust teams 398. And 2 years later, our members are enjoying it more than ever. And lastly, as I go, if you'd like to find out more about our Stourbridge Centre, as I say, just give us a call. It's 01902 880 111. That's it for this week. I'll be back with another update soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for that update, Helen. Up now, it's another block of local news. And the first voice you'll hear, it's Christine.
Almost all thefts from vehicles in the West Midlands went unsolved last year, the highest rate nationally, new figures show. Home Office data shows 14,136 such crimes were reported in the region during 2021, but 98% were unresolved. It was the highest nationally, excluding the City of London, which has a low resident population, and showed that more thefts from vehicles in the West Midlands were closed without police identifying a suspect than anywhere else in England and Wales. Meanwhile, 89% of stolen motor vehicle cases in the region were closed with no suspects identified. And of the 87,766 theft probes closed by West Midlands Police last year, 86% had the outcome investigation complete, no suspect identified. A further 5% of all theft cases closed with a suspect identified and the victim supporting an investigation, but evidential difficulties prevented further action, while 6% were closed because the victim dropped the case. And just 3% resulted in a charge or summons, one of the lowest rates in the country. Police bosses in the region have offered advice to people and businesses to ensure their property is made as secure as possible, making it harder for criminals to steal. Police bosses say such crimes can have a significant impact on victims and are encouraging people to remain vigilant.
A huge cannabis farm of 1,000 plants has been uncovered in Wolverhampton city centre, just a few hundred metres from a police station. British Gas engineers entered the Grand Post House in Lichfield Street earlier this week and discovered the operation in the cellar. West Midlands Police was called and officers spent the next few days emptying the building of drugs. The Grand Post House, a Grade 2 listed building, is a few minutes' walk away from a police station in Bilston Street. A spokeswoman for West Midlands Police said around 1,000 cannabis plants were discovered in the cellar of the Grand Post House in Lichfield Street by British Gas workmen. No arrests have been made. We were alerted by a utility company. Forensic investigators and a specialist cannabis removal team were photographed removing bags of cannabis from inside the building.
A new food bank has been launched to help offer families at crisis points and needing support a place to go for help. The food bank has been set up by Secret Angels, a charity working to tackle poverty and social exclusion through providing support to empower people to change their lives and their communities. The charity has set up the food bank at the Park Village Education Centre in Low Hill, which will be open every Tuesday from 10:30 to 12:30 p.m, having originally started out providing emergency food parcels. It will offer a range of fresh fruit and vegetables and non-perishable goods for clients to select from, with more choice being available and an aim in place to reduce the amount of food waste where the items are distributed. The new food bank will also provide a place for residents to meet and discuss opportunities and concerns in a warm and supportive environment and provide opportunities for volunteers to signpost people to additional targeted support and advice groups. The service was officially opened on Tuesday, April the 26th, and Secret Angels leader Alvina Ally said, "It came at a time when many people couldn't afford to feed themselves and their family." She said, there are so many deserving people and families in the local area who have to choose between eating and heating. If we can provide some simple basics for them, we can support families out of poverty. We have seen new arrivals from Eastern Europe, Africa and the Middle East into the locality, as well as the local community who have also been significantly affected after COVID. The aim of the food bank is to reach out and promote community development for vulnerable families in this disadvantaged community.
Dudley Trading Standards successfully prosecuted a rogue car dealer who sold a car which broke down 20 minutes after being purchased. The Leeds-based car dealer sold a Duff Vauxhall Insignia to Dudley resident Shamin Ali in 2020, but last week was fined more than £6,000. Shamin Ali travelled to Yorkshire in October 2020 to purchase a Vauxhall Insignia, which had been advertised by Liaquat Ali as in mint condition, with a 12-month MOT, tyres in excellent condition, and at a giveaway price of £1,500. 20 minutes after buying the vehicle, Shamin Ali drove the vehicle on the M1 to return to the West Midlands. During this journey, warning lights appeared on the dashboard, and a short time later the vehicle lost power. Shamin Ali tried to call trader Liaquat Ali a number of times throughout the evening with no response. He then approached Dudley Council's Trading Standards team for help. Trading Standards instructed an independent vehicle examination which concluded the vehicle was in a dangerous and unroadworthy condition, mainly due to a cracked suspension arm at the rear offside. The examination also found that the vehicle had defective brakes and that the advertisement did not describe the vehicle condition accurately and was extremely misleading. It was also discovered by Dudley Trading Standards that Liaquat Ali was previously prosecuted by West Yorkshire Trading Standards in 2014 while trading as bargain cars. Liaquat Ali, trading as Leeds Car House, was at Dudley Magistrates Court on April the 27th and pleaded guilty to selling the car to Dudley resident Shamin Ali. Ali pleaded guilty to a number of offences, including selling a dangerous and unroadworthy vehicle and providing false representations to the vehicle's condition.
Businesses on a secluded street in Wolverhampton are at crisis point as prolific fly tipping is preventing them from taking or sending out deliveries. Hatton Street in Bilston sees frequent dumping of everything from beds to rubble to fridges, with bosses estimating there to be between 30 and 40 tonnes of rubbish on the street currently. Wolverhampton Council is offering a reward in the form of a £100 gift card for information on the perpetrators. The piles of rubbish mean deliveries cannot be fulfilled to several businesses on the street, who, without these deliveries, are days away from facing closure. Kevin Sefton from Sedgley works for K&B Profiles Limited, a family-run company which offers steel profile services. Kevin said, "You can't get anything more than a small pickup down the street, and this will affect the business within 3 or 4 days if it's not removed." The current pile of rubbish has been mounting since February, but the street has endured fly tipping since at least October 2021. When contacted for a statement, a spokesman from Wolverhampton Council said, "We are urgently investigating this awful example of fly tipping. We fully understand the concerns of local residents and businesses and will be getting it removed as soon as possible. It will require a specialist contractor due to the volume of the waste, and this will come at a cost to taxpayers." A similar incident last year cost more than £4,000 to clear up, and it is taxpayers who are footing the bill for the criminals who commit these offences. "We want to catch and prosecute the perpetrators of this incident. Anyone with any information to help our investigation can email environmentalhealth@wolverhampton.gov.uk or call 01902 552 700 and an officer will call back. An Enjoy Wolverhampton gift card to the value of £100 will be given to anyone that provides information leading to a prosecution.
Up now, it's time for your weekly mental workout, as we have the quiz questions.
Hello and welcome to this week's Flashback Quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Rogers' Did You Know feature. But for now, here are your questions. Are you ready? Question 1. What can seagulls do that most animals can't? Question 2. What is done to deter seagulls from nesting? Question 3. Which newspaper offered tips to postmen about seagull attacks? Question 4. How far away can seagulls smell food? Question 5. What is unusual about seagulls' relationships? Question 6. What do seagulls habitually do each year? As always, I'll be back to reveal the answers later in the show, but for now, good luck!
While you give those questions a ponder, we have some more local news. And speaking for us first, it's Angela.
Thieves stole a firefighter's van from his drive in Walsall and used his own uniform to strip it for parts before dumping the empty van in Wolverhampton. The van was stolen from Willenhall last week, leaving the firefighter, who wishes to remain anonymous, without a vehicle to get to work the following day. After he posted about the theft on social media, the van was found completely stripped of parts, having been dumped on Moat House Lane East in Wensfield. The doors, engine, lights and battery had been removed from the van. Its contents had also been emptied, including tools, a ramp and a children's scooter. The only item left in the firefighter's van was his uniform, which had been brand new, clean and unworn before the theft. When it was found, it had been clearly worn and stained with oil down the knees. These trousers would have been worn by the firefighter for road traffic accidents and for cutting people out of cars. His daughter said, "Local van thefts are happening every night in the Wolverhampton area, which is becoming all too normal. And the police tell you there's little they can do when you report a van theft. We are hearing every night about vehicles being stolen in the area and the police clearly cannot cope with the vast amount of thefts. We found the van through a message sent by someone from the local community on Facebook. As you'll notice, this was stolen and stripped in a day and towed down the road from where it was stolen. Who would tow a completely stripped van down the road when it's all over the social media? Clearly, these van thieves are local to the area and doing this on our doorsteps. When will it all end?"
The Stourbridge shuttle is out of service again due to ongoing track repairs and potential vehicle defects. Europe's smallest branch line was out of service from the 30th of March to the 22nd of April due to vehicle maintenance. The company announced on Twitter that it would update passengers with more information in the near future. The service, running in conjunction with West Midlands Railway, usually departs every 10 minutes from early morning to late evening, linking Stourbridge Town to Stourbridge Junction. Journey time for the service is only 3 minutes, and the rail cars are powered by liquid petroleum gas, a first on the UK railway network.
A Victorian former factory building in the heart of Wolverhampton is set to be converted into 48 new apartments under revised plans approved by council bosses this week. The historic Eagle Works building on the corner of Great Bricklin Street and Alexandra Street, close to the city centre, is now largely empty except for an artist studio at the front and a car repair shop to the rear. Since it was built more than 100 years ago, the three-storey property has been home to the Reliance Hemp and Flax Mill and also housed a mattress and textile factory, a bicycle factory and a brass and gun metal foundry. Much of the building, which was locally listed in 2001, is unoccupied and falling into disrepair, with the upper floors infested with rodents. Eagle Works Wolverhampton Limited has now applied to convert the premises into a mixture of self-contained 1, 2 and 3 bedroom apartments and studio flats. The property is located approximately a third of a mile from the city centre, close to Sainsbury's in Raglan Street, near Penn Road, and the Gym Wolverhampton, adjacent to the supermarket. The application is for 38 two-bedroom apartments, 5 one-bedroom apartments, 4 studio flats, and 1 3-bedroom apartment. In addition, plans allow for 45 parking spaces at the rear of the building, with vehicle access from the street. CCTV will also be fitted in all communal areas and in the car park.
The rainbow flag will be flown high above 2 Dudley landmarks later this month to help promote equality for all. The flags will be raised as part of an event to mark International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia and Biphobia. Residents are invited to attend the event, which will take place on Coronation Gardens, opposite Dudley Council House, on Tuesday, May 17th at 11:30 a.m. People will be able to watch performances, hear readings and see the rainbow flag being raised over Dudley Council House and Dudley Castle. The Mayor of Dudley, Councillor Anne Millward, will lead the event, which is a celebration of sexual and gender diversities. Hundreds of events in more than 130 countries across the world take place each year to mark the significant day within the LGBTQI+ community. Councillor Millward, Dudley's Mayor, said, "This day is just a small reminder that people across the world continue to live in fear of expressing their sexuality and gender freely. Holding this event and raising the rainbow flags gives us a chance to focus people's minds on the issues of those who face discrimination. I am proud to be part of Dudley Council, which encourages people to live their lives as they wish without prejudice." She added, "I hope people will come along and join us in celebrating diversity."
A net zero development in the West Midlands has been shortlisted for an award due to its sustainability credentials. Wolverhampton Council's new I-9 development has been shortlisted in the net zero category at the Construction Excellence West Midlands Awards, highlighting the Council's commitment to environmental sustainability. It is the second time within a month the office development has been named as a contender for a major honour, after also making the final cut for the Best Commercial Development in the Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors UK Awards on Wednesday, May the 18th. The winner of the Construction Excellence West Midlands Awards will be announced at a ceremony at Edgbaston Cricket Ground on Thursday, May the 12th. Richard Lawrence, Wolverhampton Council's Director of Regeneration, said, "Here in Wolverhampton, our ambition is to deliver a net carbon neutral council by 2028, one of the most challenging targets in the region, and for the city to be net carbon neutral by 2041. We want our city to be an international centre of excellence, leading policy and change, firstly in sustainable construction and secondly on circular economy. The built environment has an important part to play in achieving this, and the council is enabling and directly making multi-million pound investment in buildings such as I-9. For I-9 to be shortlisted in the net zero category at the Construction Excellence West Midlands Award is testament to the work we are doing with partners in this field.
Up now on the Black Country Talking News, we have a whistle stop tour around the world revealing research into causes of vision loss, ways to help us live with visual impairment, and how technology could reduce the onset of visual deterioration.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
It's Alistair here with a piece entitled "The Good, the Bad and the Goji." Research is being done around the world to identify the causes of vision loss and to develop methods to help us live with visual impairment, as well as learning how to use technology which may reduce the onset of visual deterioration. Prevention is better than cure is a prominent theme that's eagerly studied by scientists and researchers. That's why Israeli astronaut Eitan Stiber is heading for the International Space Station, the ISS, with a list of 35 experiments to keep him busy. One experiment will assess the effect on his eyesight of living in space. An astronaut's body goes through changes in space, and the biggest one involves eyesight. Over 50% of NASA astronauts who've stayed aboard the ISS for more than 6 months have developed vision problems of varying degrees. Scientists at the Israel Aerospace Medicine Institute have developed a digital tablet app which allows them to remotely examine Eitan's vision when he uses the tablet and to understand at what point changes occur. The results will allow them to draw conclusions about neurovisual damage in space and could lead to a breakthrough in treatment. Meanwhile, in Dallas, researchers at the University of Texas have created a novel sleeping bag for astronauts that could help prevent eyesight degradation while they sleep. In the low-gravity environment of the space station, fluid collects in the astronaut's head and applies pressure to the eyeball. This eventually results in visual impairment termed spaceflight-associated neuroocular syndrome, or SANS. Researchers have teamed up with the makers of outdoor equipment to create a rigid sleeping bag that fits around the waist, enclosing the astronaut's lower body. A suction device like a vacuum cleaner then sucks the fluid towards the feet, preventing it from accumulating in the head. 12 volunteers who tested the technology all showed positive results. Research is going on to determine whether the sleeping bag should be mandatory for all astronauts or just those who are at a high risk of developing SANS. In Malaysia, researchers have carried out a number of studies into the possible damage to our eyes and vision by the chemicals in e-cigarette vapors and liquids. One such study at the National Institute of Ophthalmic Sciences invited 21 vapers and 21 healthy non-smokers to help study the effect of vaping on eye surface health and tear film quality. Vapers experienced moderate to severe eye dryness, and increasing the strength or voltage of vaping aggravated the dry eye symptoms and tear instability even more. Further research is ongoing to gain a deeper understanding on the effect of e-cigarettes on the eyes. Moving from the modern to the ancient, a tiny fruit called a goji has been eaten as a health supplement by people in Asia for 2,000 years. Recently, researchers have been examining claims that eating goji berries prevents eyesight degeneration, including the onset of macular disease. The Chinese call the fruit eye-brightening medicine. Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of vision loss among older adults. The condition affects the eyesight of around 170 million people worldwide. Macular degeneration stems from many issues, including age, genetics, environmental factors like too much sun exposure, and lifestyle habits such as smoking and poor diet. A new study claims that eating 1 ounce of dried goji berries a day can help prevent or at least delay the onset of age-related vision problems. Researchers from the University of California, Davis, found that eating the fruit improves the health of the eyes, protecting against macular degeneration. Specifically, study authors say goji berries consumption increased the density of two pigments, lutein and zeaxanthin, and they filter out harmful blue light and also provide antioxidant protection, two things vital to aging eyes. This research into the benefits of dietary supplements in the fight against age-related macular degeneration is continuing. Much of the research taking place around the world is in its early stages, but it's heartening to know that around the world and even outside it, scientists and researchers are doing the very best they can to find the causes and cures for visual impairment.
Coming up next is our final block of local news. And starting this one, we first hear from Ian.
Wolves star striker Raul Jimenez and his girlfriend Daniela Basso have celebrated after the arrival of their second child together. Basso, a Mexican actress, gave birth to the pair's son Ander on Thursday morning, the same day as the Wolves forward's birthday. The 31-year-old striker posted on Instagram, "We are very excited to share that our baby Ander arrived to fill this beautiful family with more love. Welcome, little one. Dad, Mom, and your sister Aria will always be by your side. We love you." A gender reveal event was held in Molineux in January this year in anticipation, following in the footsteps of what happened in 2020 when it was signalled the couple would have a son. but instead they went on to have a daughter named Aria, with the striker welcoming her into the world just hours after starring in Wolves' 2-0 victory over Crystal Palace in July 2020. This year's event, which saw mascots Wolfie and Wendy do the reveal by pushing the lid off a box and exposing blue balloons, signalling they were having a boy, was instead a success. Jimenez said in the video at the time, "We're very excited because today we're going to reveal the gender of our second baby." His girlfriend added, "And because last time there was a bit of confusion, now we don't want to make mistakes. Our friends are here to help us, so everything comes out well."
Dudley Zoo celebrated its 85th birthday this weekend with the animals getting in on the party, receiving presents to open. Generations of Dudley families have been introduced to hundreds of species of animals since the zoo opened its doors in 1937. Former favourites at the zoo included elephants and killer whales, but the present iterations of the animal houses and enclosures are ensuring rare species survive. Dudley Zoo director Derek Grove joined more than 40 years ago as an animal keeper and now is helping shape the future of the tourist attraction. He said, "It is so wonderful to see the crowds back here after the last few years. We are celebrating our 85th birthday and are delighted people are turning up in their 1930s clothes like the zoo's first ever visitors would have worn. The idea of the zoo was to help safeguard the life of the castle, and that has been the case. I've been here for more than half of the zoo's life, and I've seen a lot of changes. Before, the emphasis was on iconic animals like elephants and even killer whales in the 1970s. But things have changed. We should have never had killer whales, and now we concentrate on species which have a high conservation value. We were dealing with the consequences of global warming and deforestation years ago, but now they are very much on the agenda. An exhibition charting the history of the zoo is now on display, depicting the people and animals which helped the attraction survive and be such an important part of Dudley."
A new bakery and restaurant is set to be opened inside Wolverhampton's historic Chubb buildings. Medicine Bakery, an independent firm originally established in Codsall, has been granted listed building consent to open the new eatery within the buildings, which also house the Lighthouse Media Centre and cinema in Friar Street. The company also has outlets in Birmingham and has just signed a 25-year lease for the ground floor space and courtyard area within the Amici May unit. A statement issued alongside the planning application, which was made by Wolverhampton-based Podular Systems, said, "We have now outgrown the bakery in Codsall and need additional capacity to meet the growing popularity of our artisan products and high-quality food service. Sadly, the restaurant and beautiful interior courtyard of the Chubb buildings has stood empty for many years with intermittent footfall. The restaurant structures will be dressed with tiered greenery and visual displays to create a botanical garden feel. The promise of a high-quality, immersive dining experience within the Chubb buildings is expected to complement and endorse local entertainment businesses and the city's commercial quarter."
A rare model of a three-wheeled car given out for free to disabled people under the NHS for decades is being restored at the Black Country Living Museum. The Dudley attraction has bought an Invercar Mark 12E, a three-wheeled vehicle which was built in 1969. Made by Invercar Limited, the Duck Egg Blue car, which is abbreviated from Invalid Carriage, was issued free of charge to eligible people through the National Health Service for decades. The cars were introduced thanks to Clement Attlee's Labour government of 1945. After the Second World War, the UK suddenly had a large number of injured former servicemen and people disabled by their service in the war. Attlee's government decided to introduce the Invercar scheme to help disabled residents become more mobile and independent. The first model was launched by Bert Greaves in 1946, and the Ministry of Health supplied and repaired the vehicles free of charge. The cars were a regular sight in towns and cities across the UK, including the Black Country, during the 1950s, 60s and 70s. The scheme was incredibly popular, and when the initiative ended in 1976, there were more than 20,000 in everyday use. Powered by a Villiers 197cc two-stroke engine made in Wolverhampton, the pale blue vehicles could reputably reach speeds of up to 50 miles per hour. Now mostly forgotten, this example will be restored over the coming months to bring it back to its former glory, helping to tell this important story around the history of mobility transport.
Pop stars and presenters from CBeebies will descend on Wolverhampton for a free major event held in the city centre. The likes of Spandau Ballet star Martin Kemp, Urban Cookie Collective, who had the hit The Key, The Secret, will take to the stage in Queen's Square on June the 11th. Other stars for the event, featuring songs from across the 80s, 90s and noughties, include Baby D, Tina Cousins, Rosala, Oceanic, Kelly Wilde and Kim Mazel. And the event will also feature CBeebies stars Evie Pickerel, who was born in Kings Minford, and Joanna Adeyinka Burford, who will compete in challenges. Earlier this year, Ms. Pickerel starred in Wolverhampton Grand Theatre's panto Cinderella, with more than 46,000 people attending the prestigious venue. And face painters will be ready from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. to coincide with the family entertainment, whilst the live music concert will be held from 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. The whole event is being organised by Enjoy Wolverhampton, the city's business improvement district, to help increase footfall and boost businesses across the city. They said, "This year we're proud to welcome on stage Martin Kemp as our evening headline act." You'll know Martin for many different things. Some will know him as the bassist from the new wave band Spandau Ballet, while EastEnders fans will remember him as the villain Steve Owen. He'll be bringing his popular 80s DJ set to the stage, and what a show it will be. The packed evening lineup will be filled by artists whose massive hits will have you dancing all evening long. You might have forgotten the names, but the hit tunes will definitely have stayed with you throughout the years.
Coming up now on this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we have our very own Flashback Roger, with his Did You Know feature.
Hello everyone. Well, here we are again with summer holidays on the horizon and maybe a day or two on the coast. Well, a day at the sea conjures up thoughts of an ice cream and fish and chips, but it's always good an idea to eat them indoors and away from those very present and hungry inhabitants, the seagulls. Now then, did you know that? Seagulls can drink both fresh and salt water. Most animals are unable to do this, but seagulls have a special pair of glands right above their eyes, which is specifically designed to flush the salt from their systems through openings in their bill. While many consider seagulls to be a pest and a nuisance, it is, however, illegal to harm any. Courtesy of the Wildlife and Countryside Act of 1981, it makes it illegal to kill or injure any wild bird, including pigeons and seagulls. Often birds of prey are flown near places where gulls are numerous to deter them from forming colonies. American herring gulls are portrayed as winged stalkers of humans in Rich Cox's film The Birds, but the plot isn't pure fantasy after all. European herring gulls have caused serious head injuries. Postal workers have been taken off duty in an attack hotspot, and recommendations for surviving a gull attack have even made it into The Guardian. And gulls have an impressive sense of smell that allows them to detect the faintest trace of food from over 3 miles away. This is possible because they use sensitive nerve endings called Jacobson's organs inside their nostrils, which no doubt explains why they can zoom in on your fish and chips at the seaside. Seagulls are monogamous. These animals spend their lives together until one dies. They mate for life and form a lifelong bond with their partner. They work as a team to find food, protect the nest and raise chicks. The male seagull brings most of the food, while the female cares for the eggs or young chicks at home. Many species of gulls have an amazing ability to return to their original nest year after year. Some gulls even return over a span of 2 years, which is quite impressive. These birds are so intelligent that they remember where they hatched from and can find the place again with ease. Well, there you go. Love them or hate them, seagulls are here to stay and are amazing birds, really. And they go together with my images of the seaside, along with buckets and spades, beach balls and kiss me quick hats. Any road up, you may have guessed that it's made me hungry again. So I'm off for my lunch. I think I'll have a burger today, or I might even go all posh and have a cream tea later. So bye for now. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra.
Now we have our sportsman Ian giving you all the latest football news from Wolves and West Bromwich Albion.
Hello, I'm Ian and here's your latest football news. Albion ended their season with an emphatic 4-0 win to pile even more misery on relegated Barnsley. The first came from the penalty spot and had a huge slice of good fortune about it, with Clark Oduor judged to have fouled Jason Mullumby in the box, despite replays showing he clearly got the ball. Grant, who had missed a last-minute penalty against Coventry in his last outing at the Hawthorns, this time made no mistake and fired in from 12 yards. In the blink of an eye, the Baggies then doubled their lead with a brilliant finish from reach. David Button sent a long ball forward, and with fellow goalkeeper Jack Walton stranding himself in no man's land, reach brilliantly lifted the ball over his head and into the net from 20 yards. Shortly after the restart, Bruce's men made it 3-0. Diangana found Grant in the box, who then moved it onto Matt Clark, who was unmarked 6 yards out. And in what was probably his last Albion appearance, the Brighton loanee calmly slid the ball past Walton and into the net. In the 60th minute, it was 4-0 with Ajayi slipping Grant through on goal, who brilliantly lifted the ball over the keeper and in. Albion were then awarded what this time was a certain penalty when Liam Kitching fouled Darnell Furlong. This time, though, Grant failed to score with the forward's low effort well saved by Walton. The Baggies came a whisker away from grabbing a fifth once again late on when youngster Caleb Taylor, making his championship debut, produced a powerful header from a corner which Jasper Moon blocked on the line. A dramatic last-gasp equaliser from captain Connor Cody saw Wolves rescue a point away at Chelsea. Wolves were defensively resolute and created a handful of good chances in a first half where they responded to last week's horrendous loss to Brighton. Locked at 0-0, a second-half collapse handed Chelsea the advantage. Romelu Lukaku won and converted a harsh penalty and then added a quick-fire second after a calamitous error from Cody. Wolves somehow resisted more Chelsea goals in a difficult patch in the match before springing an unlikely comeback. Francisco Trincao got Wolves back in it with a wonderful effort from 20 yards as the visitors gained some momentum. A handful of chances could have seen them equalise, including a massive Trincao opportunity that was blocked, but Wolves were unable to find that much-needed second goal. That was until the 7th minute of added time. An accurate Chiquinho cross found Cody and the skipper smashed home his header to end Wolves' losing run. Speaking after the match, goalkeeping coach Tony Roberts, standing in for Bruno Lage, who was sidelined due to COVID, said, "To come to the home of the European champions from 2-0 down and get a point and be disappointed that we don't get three, it's not my usual Saturday. It was a group effort and we've been in constant contact with Bruno at the training ground. He made 3 great subs for us to go for them in the end. Other than 5 minutes, it was a very good performance." Wolves next take on Man City this Wednesday at the Molineux and then welcome Norwich on Saturday.
Up now, we hear from the Canal and River Trust, telling us all about their latest project to create a canal side orchard from Worcester up to Wolverhampton.
We're creating the world's longest community orchard, which will span 50 kilometres from Worcester all the way into Wolverhampton, using the canal as a landscape scale project. So it will consist of thousands of trees. Right here in this field, which is a pocket orchard, we have 300 of about 150 different varieties. Because this has ignited people's imagination, we've had a lot of interest from the press, the TV and radio. It's a community orchard that's just going to get stronger and stronger for the next 150 years.
Orchards are fantastic habitats because they're neither one thing nor the other. They're not quite woodland, although they do contain fruit trees, and they're not quite meadow because they've got trees in them. And as a result of that, we get the wildlife from both of those habitats. So we get our woodland wildlife like woodpeckers, insects and beetles, and then we get our meadow species, so butterflies, wildflowers, and you get all of those together.
Some of the species that are going to be seen here are going to be yellowhammers and bullfinches, and during the winter when their fruits drop to the floor, we'll get song thrushes and redwings and field fares. This particular habitat is incredibly important because we're going to transform it from quite a low wildlife value site into an incredibly biodiverse area. There are some rare butterflies, in particular the brown hair streak, which feeds on blackthorn hedges. So one of the things that indicate the presence of the species is the eggs over winter, and they're usually at the joint of a blackthorn fresh new growth. If hedges get cut during the winter, you lose all these eggs. Because a lot of the plums are closely related, we're hoping that they will also lay their eggs on some of the fruit trees that we're planting. We're providing a whole variety of species in this orchard, which will prolong a very long period of blossoming.
Some of the best old orchards in the country contain this extraordinary array of wildlife and are some of the most biodiverse habitats in the country. Now, we've lost so many old orchards that it's really great to see some new ones being planted, like this fantastic site here. We're really creating something for the future, so it's fantastic to see the Canal and River Trust taking this project on and planting this orchard.
This orchard has been made possible by the Green Recovery Challenge Fund, and it's just won a whole host of enhancements across the landscape of the Midlands. So we'll be planting thousands of fruit trees, and there'll be a mixture of very old traditional, native and quite modern varieties, and we're also adapting to climate, so there'll be some unusual species, acknowledging the warming climate. So even in this orchard here, which is based on a traditional orchard, we will have species of apricot and peaches and almonds, just as a nod that in the future it will be that bit warmer.
Today we're at the canal and we're planting some trees. As you can see, we have lots around here. And this one is an apple tree. It's a purple haze apple tree, actually.
The idea that in a few years' time, people will be able to walk along the towpath and pick some free, unsprayed fruit is a wonderful idea.
I've planted two plum trees so far. I think it's a great idea. I think that having community fruit orchards are fantastic for the community to come together and pick fruit when it's ready and for us to look after it together.
We think it's going to be very happy to have loads of trees around here. And we're very glad we started this because it looks beautiful from the view of trees and we love it so far. It's very nice.
What does the weather have in store for us? Well, now's the time to find out.
The weather for this week ahead looks to be mostly dry, settled and warm. Temperatures for the week will be hovering around 23 degrees. UV levels are expected to be moderate and high throughout the week. The sunrise and sunset times are 5:08 a.m. for the sunrise and 9:02 p.m. for the sunset. For Friday 13th of May and Saturday 14th of May, we have sunny intervals and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 22 degrees. For Sunday 15th of May through to Tuesday 17th of May, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 23 degrees. And for Wednesday 18th and Thursday 19th of May, we have sunny moments and a soothing breeze with a maximum temperature of 23 degrees. So that's your forecast for this week. As always, enjoy the weather.
Thanks for that, Mina. Now we move over to Craig and his Black Country joke book.
Hello, I'm Craig, and I've got for you today some fantastic jokes from my Black Country joke book. I thought I'd have a go at the lotto and I was in Dudley last week. My lucky dick was full of bits of clay. It turned out I'd enter the National Pottery. Not to say I'm unlucky, but the only thing I ever won is a comb. It's after the day I shaved my hair off. In other news, it's good to see Paddington wears gloves when making marmalade sandwiches and that he's not touching them with his bare hands. Speaking of which, I've been looking at ways to keep my hands warm in fingerless gloves. Got any tips? Anyway, I'm Craig and that was my Black Country joke book.
Have you done any good at the quiz this week? Well, now's the time to find out, as we have the quiz answers.
Hello, and here are your answers for this week's flashback quiz. Are you ready? Question 1. What can seagulls do that most animals can't? And the answer is, they can drink both fresh and salt water. Question 2. What is done to deter seagulls from nesting? And the answer is, birds of prey are flown nearby. Question 3. Which newspaper offered tips to postmen about seagull attacks? And the answer here is The Guardian. Question 4. How far away can seagulls smell food? And the answer here is over 3 miles. Question 5. What is unusual about seagulls' relationships? And the answer here is they only have a single partner. Question 6. What do seagulls habitually do each year? And the answer here is they always return to their own nest site. How did you do? Great, I hope. But if not, there's always another chance to have a go next week. Now, did you get the answer to this week's Guess the Sound question that Rob asked at the start of the show? Here's one more chance to hear it before I tell you the answer. The sound you just heard was a recording of a Seaside Gaming arcade. Now, to end this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we hear how Dame Judy Dench has adapted to life with a visual impairment.
DNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
This is Tanya with an article about Judy Dench and her visual impairment. Acting legend Dame Judy Dench has spoken about how she has adapted to visually impaired life over the past decade since she was diagnosed with age-related macular degeneration in 2012. Dame Judy's progressive sight loss has affected several areas of her life, for example, her ability to do simple things like crosswords, and her ability to get around, now that the condition has forced her to give up driving. Her deteriorating eyesight has also affected her career because she can no longer read scripts easily, and this makes it difficult to learn the lines for her acting roles. She has continued to act despite the problems, but she now has to rely on friends to read the lines to her and repeat them until she has memorized her part. However, this way of learning her lines certainly hasn't diminished her performances in front of the camera, because she was nominated for an Oscar this year for her part as the granny in Kenneth Branagh's autobiographical film Belfast. Now 87, Dame Judy is known for dozens of roles in films and on TV. Some of the most memorable include playing Queen Victoria in the films Mrs. Brown and Victoria and Abdul, and of course, playing Spy Chief M in several James Bond films. On TV, she is known for her roles in series such as Cranford and for playing the character Jean in the long-running sitcom As Time Goes By from 1992 until 2005. Dame Judy is not alone in suffering from macular degeneration. The Macular Society reports that nearly 1.5 million people in the UK have macular disease. Macular diseases affect people of all ages, but age-related macular degeneration, AMD, is the most common condition. AMD generally affects people over the age of 55 and is the biggest cause of sight loss in the UK, affecting more than 600,000 people. AMD often affects the central field of vision. While it often doesn't cause total blindness, it can make everyday activities like reading and recognizing faces difficult. There are two types of age-related macular degeneration. Dry AMD usually progresses slowly. Wet AMD can lead to more rapid and severe vision loss, but is more treatable. If you have macular disease, you can find information online at www.macularsociety.org, or you can phone the Macular Society's advice and information line on 0300 30 30 111. And that number again is 0300 30 30 111.
DNF Soundings.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!